And here we go into a sports weekend. It's the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix 4 to 6. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Feels good to be finally into the sports weekend. Put the work week behind us. Looking forward to high school football tonight. We'll talk plenty of high school football between now and kickoff. Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, the Leo Lions visiting the East Noble Knights. If you're heading up to this game, and I think half of Northeast Allen County and most of Kendallville and Noble County will be there tonight. Be sure you stop by our tent ahead of time because we've got the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate Pregame Show ready to go, 6 o'clock. Jim, Shannon, and Dute with previews of tonight's opening round of sectional play. Also, they'll be breaking down what to expect out of the big Leo East Noble game tonight. Two top 10 teams in the state of Indiana, including an undefeated Leo team, currently ranked number 2, that has a 40-32 win over East Noble earlier this year, to their credit. And it should be a very fun, exciting atmosphere up at Kendallville. Can't wait to jump on the chopper, get up there and join the festivities. Look forward to the call with Shannon Griffith. And then after the game, we'll be at the Kendallville Pizza Hut. So stop out and enjoy a little post-game meal. Maybe you want to enjoy some pizza, maybe some pasta. You can get it all. Wings. Oh, man. Do they have wings with your choice of great toppings? Be sure to check out Pizza Hut after the game. And if you can't make it into the Pizza Hut, here's the thing. When you leave the game, just get to the car, order it. You can stop by the Pizza Hut at Kendallville and pick it up. It's that simple. Maybe eat on the way home, maybe if you're heading back to Leo. So it's Pizza Hut after the game for the Indiana Physical Therapy post-game show up until 11 o'clock. All your scores, highlights, coaches, interviews, and more coming up tonight here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Hey, don't forget, you've got the Parkview Sports Medicine text line. Any questions, comments, suggestions, you can fire away at 46862. Whatever you've got to look forward to this weekend, of course, tomorrow, college football. Football center stage. You've got the Indiana Hoosiers hosting the Ohio State Buckeyes. You've got Purdue at home at Ross-Ade. They're taking on the Wisconsin Badgers, and Notre Dame also at home as they'll be playing the USC Trojans. You got plenty of football. Of course, we'll have the Purdue broadcast and Notre Dame right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. And for the Hoosiers and Ohio State Buckeyes, check out our sister station, Big 92.3 FM, for all the Indiana Hoosiers coverage, all football and basketball season long, right here with the Federated Media family of radio stations. You know, last night we found out, and it was proven, that the elimination game, always the toughest one to win. Of course, you know, you've heard that adage that it's always the toughest one to lock up is the one that clinches the series. And last night, the Braves taking on the Los Angeles Dodgers had a chance to eliminate Los Angeles. And one thing the Dodgers have been is resilient. They did it against the San Francisco Giants. Of course, they won the one game wild card against the Cardinals. And now you've got them again, backs against the wall, and they came out swinging, especially Chris Taylor. What a game for Chris Taylor. Three home runs. I mean, this guy is almost anonymous during the regular season. So many big sluggers on that Los Angeles Dodgers team, and you barely notice Chris Taylor. But then it comes to the postseason, and he seems to deliver. More often than not, this kid comes through, and he did it last night with three home runs. Had a chance his last time up in the bottom of the eighth inning, batting with two outs. He had a chance to set the record and hit his fourth home run in a postseason game. But he came up empty and struck out to end the bottom of the eighth inning. But the Dodgers still come away with the big victory, 11-2 over the Atlanta Braves. And so the Dodgers now down 3-2. The last two games heading to Atlanta, where the Dodgers will trust Max Scherzer. Has he got a tired arm? Is he going to have enough left to be able to pitch the Dodgers to a seventh game? He'll go up against Ian Anderson, a 23-year-old right-hander for the Atlanta Braves. Young guy facing all the pressure in the world in front of his home fans. How will he handle that kind of pressure? Well, so far this year, he's been 5-1 at home, so he's been pretty good when he's pitched in Atlanta. But all the pressure in the world now starting to shift to the Atlanta Braves as you know, they've got a history of having some collapses and failures at this point in the playoffs, and now they've got the 3-2 lead. The Dodgers, who I think have been the best team in baseball this year, I know they finished second to the Giants out in the West, but the Dodgers have spent the money. They've put together the roster to win a championship. It's going to be tough to eliminate them. And so you've got the remaining two games in Atlanta. Meanwhile, on the other side, you've got the Astros with the chance to eliminate the Boston Red Sox. It is game number 6 tonight in Houston. I don't know what to think about this. The Astros have really flexed their offensive muscles the last couple of games, and I've got to think that the Red Sox are going to do something. Man, the Astros have been good. My gut is telling me that Boston finds a way to force it to a seventh game before Houston eventually wins the series, but we'll see what happens down in Houston tonight. Major League Baseball starting to get exciting. You know, the World Series, really, it's the fall classic for a reason. I mean, that it gets fun to watch. It just is too late and too long, but it's fun to watch. And with football, basketball options, baseball still trying to find their place in the American consciousness in fall television viewing. But we'll see what happens. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Fired up, ready to go. High school football tonight, I'm ready. Man, I'm ready. You know, we don't get a chance to get out of the SAC all that often, but because of the Class 5A and Class 6A bye week this week, we kind of surveyed all of the matchups and thought, okay, what do we have in our area that would be the most intriguing game for our listeners? We came down to two. We had the Adams Central Flying Jets going up to Cherubusco to take on the Cherubusco Eagles, and we had the Leo Lions going to East Noble to take on the East Noble Knights. Both of them definitely worthy of Game of the Week status. And it just came down to, you know, a number of logistics that we had to work out, not only with the schools, but with our post game location and other things. And it just was finally our choice that Leo and East Noble would be the game. But either one, man, these are going to be two great football games, because Adams Central and Cherubusco are going to look a lot like one another. Both of them want to establish a ground game. The quarterbacks will throw it when needed, and you can't overstuff the box because they are capable. I mean, Neuenschwander can make some plays as a wideout for Adams Central. You've got a number of options with Cherubusco. I mean, it's not just throwing it to a wideout. They can get in different alignments where, you know, to me, the guy that you have to pay attention to almost every play is Nick Nondorf. That's a guy that can make plays, whether he's running it, catching it, whatever the situation might be. Riley Burroff, capable quarterback for the Cherubusco Eagles. The question comes down to me as far as stops defensively. Who's going to get more stops against the opposing offense? And to me, Cherubusco is going to be challenged by that Adams Central offense. It is so efficient. And they are so talented with the Curry and Hyerly combination running the football. I think that Adams Central is going to be able to wear down Cherubusco defensively, and eventually Adams Central wins this game. But it could be one of the toughest games Adams Central faces in the entire tournament run up until the point that they could play for a state championship. That's how big this game is to start sectional play up in Cherubusco. Should be fun up there with Adams Central and Cherubusco. Now, what are we going to see? Well, we're going to see a team that runs the football. The Leo Lions almost refuse to pass the football. I mean, they're going to play the kind of the macho brand of football where we're going to punch you in the mouth. We're going to just plow through you, create gaps and holes, and you can't tackle our running back until they're to the second or third level of your defense. Because so far this year, the Leo Lions have three capable running backs. So basically, with a 10-yard per carry average. You give them the ball, you move the chains, pretty much, for the Leo Lions. And then for East Noble, their playmaker, Rowan Zalman, he's going to have to play both ways, and he's going to have to come through with a couple plays, I think, in the passing game. And that's where you're going to find Xander Brazel having to put the ball in the air. Cold conditions. It's not breezy, though. It's just a little cool tonight, but it is not breezy. So I don't think the quarterbacks are going to be impacted by the weather. Cold never seems to affect guys playing football. So we'll see what happens tonight. East Noble and Leo, your featured game of the week here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Last night, Cleveland Browns behind Case Keenum and D'Ernest Johnson. That's a name no one knew before last night, but those two kind of carried the Cleveland Browns to a 17-14 win over the Denver Broncos, handing the Broncos their fourth consecutive loss after starting the season 3-0. Cleveland desperately needed the win because of basically their division. You've got Baltimore with only one loss. You've got the Bengals with just two losses. The Steelers, still respectable, but I don't think they're going to be a playoff team. And so if the Browns want to make the playoffs, they can't afford totaling up too many more losses. And so they were able to get the win at home, even with Baker Mayfield not playing. Case Keenum did a nice job. He's every example that you need as to why and how you put together a roster with a solid backup quarterback. Something that Chris Ballard and the Colts failed to do. Just shows you how important that position is, should it come down to an important game where you don't have your starting quarterback available. And I get concerned because I wait for the day when it's going to come that Carson Wentz is going to be unable to go for the Colts, whether it's an injury, whether it's something COVID-related, whatever the case might be. If you miss Carson Wentz, who is going to play for the Indianapolis Colts? Is he even on the roster right now? Trade deadline coming up next week. I just don't know who the backup quarterback really is. Brent Hundley, zero confidence for me in Brent Hundley. 46862, Parkview Sports Medicine text line, 46862. Other games coming up this weekend. The Washington football team will be up in Green Bay to take on the Packers. Chiefs-Titans, that's a game that all Colts fans will be watching closely. The 1 o'clock game on Sunday has Kansas City as a 4.5-point favorite on the road in Tennessee against the Titans. And I hope Vegas is right, because somebody needs to beat the Titans. Colts have to take care of business, and then the Colts can even up the Titans with a head-to-head win at Lucas Oil Stadium next week. Other games, you got the lowly Falcons against the lowlier Miami Dolphins. Will it be the last game for the Dolphins for Tua? Brian Flores continues to come out and say Tua is his man. He is the quarterback, and he likes his quarterback. Yeah, they all say that before they're traded. Jets, Patriots, that's round two. Of course, Zach Wilson did not perform well against Patriots in round one. Meanwhile, you've got the Panthers, Giants, Bengals, Ravens should be a good football game. Eagles are in Las Vegas to take on the Raiders. Lions and Jared Goff with a homecoming out in Los Angeles against the Rams. I don't think that's going to be overly celebrated. And then you've got the Texans going against the undefeated Arizona Cardinals. The Bears down in Tampa Bay to try to again knock off the Buccaneers. Remember Tom Brady with the famous four fingers? Fourth down. Yeah, that was a game that the Bears beat the Bucks in Soldier Field. This year it's down in Tampa Bay. And then the Sunday nighter, the Colts 49ers. We have to wait till Monday for the Saints and Seahawks. Big high school football day. Sectionals, round one tonight. We keep your coverage rolling and keep the show rolling. We're going to have Zach Osterman joining us on the other side of the break. It is the Sports Rush on a Friday on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Welcome back to the Sports Rush, your daily local sports fix, 4 to 6. Brett Rump, Caleb Hatch, and the gang standing by. Top of the hour, we send it up to East Noble. Leo East Noble and the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate Pregame Show gets it all started coming up at 6 o'clock right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Coming up tomorrow on our sister station, Big 92.3, the Indiana Hoosiers and the Ohio State Buckeyes. I don't know. I think this might have lost a little luster because of the performance of the Hoosiers so far this season. Of course, we all remember Indiana and Ohio State from a year ago. Let's talk about it by going to our Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline from Indy Star. It is Zach Osterman. And I guess, Zach, what is the buzz for this football game? Has it lost some luster because of Indiana so far this season?
Well, I don't think there's any denying it's lost. You know, I think there's an alternate universe where IU fans were maybe hoping they're coming into this weekend, you know, 5-1 and Ohio State 6-0 and, you know, ESPN game days in town and all those kinds of things. Obviously, none of that's really come to pass. And undeniably, I think this team has, but this game has lost some of its shine. I think, you know, for Indiana as a program, it's kind of the more traditional way of looking at Ohio State in terms of saying, don't give up on it, but also don't put too much into it if you can't win this game. But there's no denying that where this game was a season ago, when it was, I think, inarguably the game of the Big Ten regular season, maybe the game of the Big Ten season, period. It is far from that now.
When you look at what Vegas has this game, 21 and a half points, Ohio State the favorite. Obviously, nationally, there's been a loss of respect for the Indiana Hoosiers. They were riding such a high heading into the season. How much could they get that back if they can pull off an upset?
Oh, I mean, if they win tomorrow, I think you'd get a ton of it back. Obviously, I don't think they'd be ranked at 3-4 or anything like that, but there would be, you know, kind of a unless we assume that Ohio State, as long as we can assume Ohio State's not going to get Indiana there by throwing, you know, 5 pick-sixes or anything like that, I think we'd come out of that feeling like, hey, Indiana's kind of in control of its season again a little bit. Because I think Indiana is a little bit, from a big picture perspective, you know, kind of back to the place that maybe we see them more traditionally in terms of being right around that 5-7, 6-6 kind of bubble where they haven't been, to their credit, the last couple of years. But I think they're back there a little bit now, at least for this season, which, of course, has turned out to be pretty difficult, you know, compared to the schedules Indiana's faced in recent seasons. And I think if you're Indiana, you know, part of maybe the challenge, too, of Ohio State is not – losing heart and losing focus. If you do lose this weekend and you fall to 2-5, if you won it, I mean, that would be an enormous boost. And it would also, you know, and this is a wrinkle that doesn't really involve Indiana anymore, but it would really throw the Big Ten East race wide open, you know, in terms of maybe dealing Ohio State that first loss and throwing the door open maybe to a Penn State, maybe to a Michigan. But obviously, I think everybody recognizes that would be a pretty tall order at this point.
Who quarterbacks for the Hoosiers tomorrow?
I would be, you know, listen, we are in that mode of parsing statements and, you know, making educated guesses. I would be pretty surprised if it's not Jack Tuttle. Every sense I've gotten from things Indiana has said, you know, frankly, from things Indiana has left unsaid, is that Michael Penix's injury is not, you know, something that's just going to turn around really, really quickly. And I don't think, you know, I mean, number one, I don't really think that there's a world where you get to a place where Donovan McCulley should be starting if you have other healthy options around. I know he's a highly regarded player. He's very talented. I've seen him in high school. I've seen, you know, obviously saw him in the preseason. But there's a reason a lot of freshmen don't start at quarterback. It's a lot to ask of them. It's a lot to ask of a player who you'd really much rather be kind of controlling his development at this point and making sure you aren't overloading him, handing him too much to try and process. I would be pretty surprised if it's not Jack Tuttle. I know he was shaky at times last weekend, but let's be honest, I think we're kind of at a point where we have to acknowledge that the shakiness of Indiana's quarterback play is related to shakiness elsewhere on the offense as well. Line play, receiver play, et cetera. And I think Indiana still has a high degree of confidence and faith in Jack Tuttle as an experienced, steady hand. I would be surprised, provided I'm right about Penix, and, you know, listen, he could be warming up tomorrow afternoon and I look stupid, but it wouldn't be the first time I've looked dumb in my life, trust me. Provided Penix isn't out there, I'd be surprised if it's not Tuttle, with maybe a sprinkle a little bit of McCulley in here and there.
Last year, it was almost a coming-out party for Ty Freifogel against the Ohio State Buckeyes. What do the Hoosiers need to do to get the best of Ty Freifogel?
That's a tough question, because I think the best of Ty Freifogel is stretching the field vertically, you know, getting downfield, challenging corners, winning one-on-one matchups, that kind of thing. And you've now lost the quarterback. Not that Jack Tuttle can't throw the deep ball, but, you know, part of the appeal of Michael Penix, part of his dynamism, if you want to say, was that nobody in the league could really stretch teams vertically the way that he could. You know, the accuracy, the precision, the speed, frankly, of his dead. I know we also often don't think about downfield passing in terms of basically the speed you put on the ball, but, like, that can make a huge difference. If you're trying to cover 60 yards on a throw or 50 yards on a throw and you can get it there, you know, even 0.8 seconds faster than most people, then that means that window is open 0.8 seconds longer than it should be. And the other kind of part of Freifogel, even absent, you know, by his own admission, some of his struggles with drops at times, is Indiana's also having to move around a lot more because they've lost some of their key pieces in the slot. And I think they've kind of gotten to a place where they sort of feel like they've got to move Freifogel around to get him to be a weapon just almost anywhere they can in the passing game. And if you're talking about getting the best out of him, I'm not sure that's always when you're lining him up in the slot and looking for digs and, you know, slants and crossing routes. But at this point, Indiana's just trying to find something that works. And so I don't really blame them for getting creative about how they deploy Freifogel. I just think that, you know, the best of him is what you saw against Ohio State last year. And I don't know if Indiana can do that as often tomorrow.
Can Indiana handle the physicality of Ohio State at the line of scrimmage? This offensive line has not been good. They're going to have to be great tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I think basically that you narrowed the question down well there. Defensively, my answer would be yes, I think so, probably. I think that this Indiana team, this Indiana defense has proven that it can hold up against just about anybody. I know that the numbers aren't dominant, but if you really dig into the performances, this Indiana defense has been really, really good this year. It just hasn't been good enough to kind of overcome the myriad shortcomings of its offense. I think, to your point, this is another difficult thing for Indiana's offensive line. If they can hold up, you know, this is kind of one of those where maybe if you want to know where a competitive performance, even an upset bid, starts for Indiana, it's that group, you know, kind of raising its level above where it's been most of this year. And I think individually, a lot of those guys have another level to go to, but collectively we just have not seen them reach it for any sustained period of time this season. If that happens, then I think you see Indiana move the ball a little bit better tomorrow, probably score the ball a little bit better tomorrow. And if the defense plays well, then maybe we are talking about a game close, you know, into the fourth quarter, midway through the fourth quarter, et cetera. But I think there is a lot about, you know, especially as Indiana maybe has had to reimagine its offense without Michael Penix, there's a lot about that line that needs to improve, and that could go a long way toward helping this team get better.
Zach, always appreciate you jumping on with us. Enjoy the game. We look forward to your coverage, and we look forward to talking to you again soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, as always.
Absolutely. Zach Osterman joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline, Indiana Hoosiers, Ohio State, under the lights, Bloomington. 7:30 will be the kick on Big 92.3 FM. We'll come back. We've got Coach Ben Boudreau joining us. Comets opening weekend, and we'll talk about it when we return on the Sports Rush on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Just cruising through a Friday edition of the Sports Rush. I am Brett Rump along with Caleb Hatch. Coming up at the top of the hour, don't forget the guys are standing by up in Kendallville. It is Leo East Noble and the Parkview Sports Medicine High School Football Tailgate Pregame Show will start 6 o'clock. Jim, Shannon, and Dute with previews of all of tonight's high school football sectional action. And then I'll join Shannon Griffith, play-by-play coverage of the Leo Lions and the East Noble Knights right here at 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM. Kind of sets the stage for a big weekend here in Fort Wayne, because tomorrow night It is season number 70 for the Fort Wayne Comets. It will get underway at the Memorial Coliseum. It is that season opening feeling. You almost get goosebumps when you think about another Comet season upon us. And it seems like just yesterday we were celebrating a Cully Cup championship. Now it's time to start a whole new season, put that behind us. But there'll be some festivities that I guess you can't quite do that till the game starts tomorrow night. But to talk about it, we're joined on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline by Comets coach Ben Boudreaux. And coach, hard to believe, but we are at the start of yet another season. Boy, did it go quick.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like we blinked and then we're here playing hockey again. So that could be a good or bad thing. But a short off season, I think, is what everybody strives for. And we had just that.
Coach, tomorrow night, the festivities beforehand. Do you find those to be positives for your hockey team? I mean, you know, it's exciting for the fans and everything, but the guys that are on this team, a lot of them didn't participate in that championship. And you know, what is your sense as far as focus on the game and having those festivities on top of it?
Well, they're all professionals, and their job is to be ready at the drop of the puck with no excuses. And we hold them to that standard, so... you know, there shouldn't be any excuses tomorrow. And as far as the festivities to go, you know, the majority of the guys that weren't here last year are going to have a chance to see what it's all about, and hopefully that's a motivating factor for them. But for the guys that were here, it may be a once in a lifetime opportunity, and the message was exactly the same thing as we went through in the playoffs last year, is and enjoy the moment, because you don't know how often times like this in somebody's life come by. So for me and my perspective, I'm really looking forward to the festivities tomorrow.
Now that you've got the roster assembled, of course, it was announced yesterday what the roster will be for opening night. How do you define this team? Everybody wants to know, what's the team's identity? As the coach, what do you see in this group of players?
We're going to find out. I mean, there's, I'd like to say a lot of different things right now, but the cold hard fact is we just don't know yet. I mean, we do have some great names down on resumes, and we've got great goaltending and some really good pieces, but until we start playing games, it's going to take a little while to find out, you know, who we are and what we are, just because of the amount of roster turnover that we had last year. And to be honest, that's okay. You know, that's going to be the work in progress. It's the 72-game season, and it's going to be a long one. So what our identity is right now is yet to be determined.
Where are you at with this hockey team not having the preseason games as far as the lines? Are they set in stone? Is it something that we'll see different combinations of players on the ice together over the first few games? Where are you at that point?
I mean, I don't think there's anything set in stone right now, just because the situation we're in. It's not ideal, but again, I believe experience is always a valuable thing, and we had that last year trying to start the season with no exhibition games going against the other team. But Wheeling's in the same boat. They got their games canceled you know, the same weekend against us, so they're not going to have any exhibition games. So again, I don't think that's an advantage for one side or the other. And we're just going to have to be ready to go as far as that's concerned.
When you prep for a game like this where you really don't have any tape or any video of a previous game, do you look at personnel and personnel tendencies? How do you prepare for an opponent when the opponent hasn't played a game together?
Well, see, this is typically there's a style that the coach likes to, you know, reflect upon his team. And for that, with the new coach Derek Armey last year, we saw a change in Wheeling's attitude as they got a lot better towards the second half. They were tougher, they were more aggressive, and I thought that was a reflection of his style and the way he liked to coach. And we played these guys 20 times last year, so we got to know them very well and a lot of their tendencies. And the game is the same type of game, just different players. So as far as the systems, yes, we haven't seen this group this year, but I believe there's some same tendencies that they had against us last year that we're going to see this game. So as far as how we play them, we should be ready for them.
Coach, you know, old school hockey is you always had your scoring line and then you had your defensive line. Is that still the case today? Do you have, you know, three great scorers together, three great defensive forwards together, or is that a thing of the past?
No, I believe in balance, and we had it throughout our lineup last year, and the same thing with our defensive cores, and I believe that we have the same thing this year. The one constant that I know is the Jones twins will typically find themselves playing together as they've done throughout the majority of their career, and you know, they've got those instincts. But other than that, you know, we're going to be looking at all different types of combinations, and we've got some set lines right now, and if they have success, great, and if not, you go back to the drawing board.
Got somebody that's getting impatient about the season getting started. I can tell. Congratulations. That was part of the off-season addition to the family, I think, that I hear in the background.
Thanks. I think maybe that's the reason that the summer went so quick. Got no more time. Everybody warned me going from one to two was going to be a big life change, and I didn't know until he came, but we're a happy family, and I got two beautiful young boys that are going to enjoy the ceremonies tomorrow, and my wife that's going to partake in it, not 9 months pregnant, so it's there's a lot to look forward to for both everybody involved and fans alike.
The C, who's wearing it tomorrow?
You are going to get first-hand look if you're at the game, so you better buy the tickets and come witness it for yourself.
Wonderful tease. I like that. I thought maybe I'd get a sneak answer out of you. All right, so I can't get that answer. What about pregame speeches? Are you a spontaneous guy, or do you prep what you're going to tell the guys before they come out on Saturday night?
I'm off the cuff. You know, I'm an emotional guy, you know, and I typically try to play on those emotions as we're with the guys, and, you know, you think about it all day long, and it usually comes out something completely different. So it's going to be a great moment for a lot of guys. They're making either their rookie debuts or their returns, or, you know, they're here as veterans trying to come back for the common goal of winning. So, you know, I just think the spectacle tomorrow is going to be one that you can't miss, and as fans, it's going to be great. Everybody involved is going to look forward to it. So we just hope that after that, and when we get down to hockey, we've got 2 points and we're off to the season here, continue a winning streak from last year.
How are your emotions right now? How are you feeling?
Well, the last game, I ended up shedding a couple of tears just with the full building and, you know, the whole scope of everything. And, you know, you realize why experience is so valuable, because you get to learn from the things that you've been through here. And so this is going to be my fifth home opener. I know the magnitude of it. I know the pressure that goes into it. So if I can share my experiences with the guys, I think it'll help. And it's okay to be nervous, because the butterflies are still very there, still very, very alive. And you go to bed and you might lose sleep tonight because you're looking forward to something so much, or you're a little bit nervous. It's natural. But that's our motto: embrace it and enjoy the experience, because it doesn't come all that often. And these are can't-miss games as players, families, and fans alike. This one moment, the one game tomorrow, is going to be a big one, and I hope that we all get a chance to enjoy it.
Absolutely. Great message to not only the team, but message to the fans, too. Embrace it. Enjoy the moment. You never know when it could happen again. So I think that's the message for tomorrow night. Hope fans come out, pack the jungle, and Comets have a great result against Wheeling. Appreciate the time, as always, Coach.
Brett, thanks for having me on, and we'll see you out there soon.
Absolutely. That is Coach Ben Boudreau joining us here on the Masters Heating and Cooling Hotline. Comets Wheeling tomorrow night, 7:30. Of course, all the season opening festivities will take place, including the banner ceremony, ring ceremony, everything to celebrate for a final time that Kelly Cup championship. All right, so we have gotten to that point in the show. It is this time where we replay our high school football picks of the week. If you're heading to high school football tonight, you might want to know who will be the winners, who will be the losers. Yeah, unfortunately, I've got to tell you who season ends tonight and who moves on. We did it yesterday. Now we'll do the replay. It's coming your way. The high school football picks of the week in 3, 2, 1.
Now, the high school football picks of the week, presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic. 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM.
On to the postseason we go. It's time for another edition of the high school football picks of the week, postseason sectional style. Let's start with the small boys in Class 1A. Man, there's some great games on the slate this Friday. Starting with Northfield heading to Fremont. Northfield's won 6 of their last 7 games. They've done it with an efficient offense and a stingy defense. 6-3 on the season against 3-6 Fremont. I'm going to say Northfield on the road gets the win, 35-13 over Fremont.
Inside that man's body is a little child calling out for help.
It's a big time matchup in Turtletown as Cherubusco welcomes Adams Central, two state ranked teams with the Flying Jets 8-1 and the Eagles 7-2. Adams Central's lone loss came to Eastside by 2 points. They're that close to being an undefeated team starting postseason play. I like Adams Central because they remind me so much of what we saw with South Adams a year ago. A senior class that has played for 3 years together, and they just seem to be on a mission. I don't know if Cherubusco is going to be good enough to beat them. Cherubusco, to me, may be still a year away. So I've got Adams Central to win it on the road, 41-14.
Don't you ever get tired of being wrong?
In sectional 43, the South Adams Starfires take their 7-2 record on the road to face Madison Grant. You know how much I know about Madison Grant? Yeah, not very much. All I know is that on the season, they're averaging 20.9 points per game while giving up 29.6. That's enough for me to say that South Adams goes to Madison Grant and wins it over the Argyles, 35-13.
The simplest way to put it, I have problems.
In Class 2A, the Bluffton Tigers visit undefeated Eastside. We've been so impressed with Eastside Blazers and Laban Davis, and I think they'll impress to start tournament play. They're going to put up 40 points, Bluffton 14.
Do you know how crazy that sounds?
The Central Noble Cougars never got their offense going in tough conditions at Eastside a couple of weeks ago. We were there to see it, but they rebounded well and won last week, and now they welcome a Whitco team into Central Noble to take on the Cougars, and this one belongs to Central Noble, 41-7.
That's crazy talk.
Bishop Lewis can't get caught looking ahead. Yes, it's easy to maybe not respect a Fairfield opponent that comes in with a 4-4 record, but it's a team that was undefeated a year ago. If Lewis comes out and plays to their potential, this won't be close. The only chance Fairfield has is if Lewis gets caught taking Fairfield for granted. I don't think it happens. Too many weapons for the Bishop Lewis Knights, and they've been down this road before. They know it's win and move on. Lose, and your season over. So Bishop Lewis will come out motivated and defeat Fairfield 56-14.
You're pretty good.
Prairie Heights will be at Woodland. I like the Warriors. 27, Prairie Heights, 20.
You are one pathetic loser.
In Class 3A, the Norwell Knights, 8-1 on the season, will take the trip down to Mekonikwa. The Knights have been so solid offensively and especially defensively this year with just a lone loss to the Leo Lions. They won't get loss number 2 this week. They'll defeat Mekonikwa 35-7.
You're a smart man.
It's a winless Northwestern team visiting a 1-win Concordia team. But Concordia plays in the SAC. That kind of toughens you up for a 3A sectional matchup. And Concordia will be too much for Northwestern. Cadets win it 28-7.
Anybody care what this guy thinks?
No!
Oak Hill has a gaudy 7-2 record against Belmont, just 1-8. But Oak Hill, who have they played? That's going to be the question asked throughout this sectional 27 bracket. Despite an improving Belmont squad, I still have to give the advantage to Oak Hill. They'll beat the Braves 41-14.
I thought I told you to get lost.
Casey Coltman takes the Heritage Patriots on the road to Peru. The Tigers have won 5 straight games after starting the season 1-2. And no one in that stretch has scored more than 20 points against them. On the season, they're allowing just 17.8 points per game. That despite allowing Tippecanoe Valley, an undefeated 3A squad, 45 points. I don't count out the Heritage Patriots' chances in this one. But I also don't count on the Heritage Patriots to win the game. I've got Peru 34, Heritage 14.
Let's say the average person uses 10% of their brain. How much do you use? 1.5%.
Moving on to Class 4A, where DeKalb will be on the road at Wawa C. I'm going to give Wawa C a home victory over the DeKalb Barons 34-27.
Is she all there? Like mentally?
The Angola Hornets will take a trip into Columbia City to take on the Eagles. I think schedule strength will play into this one. Columbia City, part of the NE8. Angola, part of the NECC. And I've got the advantage going to the Columbia City Eagles. They'll beat the Hornets 42-14.
You were literally too stupid to insult.
Finally, it's the game of the week on 1380 The Fan and 100.9 FM as the Leo Lions invade East Noble to take on the Knights. Round 2. Round 1 went to Leo in a terrific game. The Knights battled back, scoring three straight touchdowns to tie up the game at 32 points apiece after they were down by 20. Meanwhile, for Leo, they responded like champions do. After East Noble had all the momentum, had the home crowd going crazy, and a 32-32 game, Leo marched right down the field, scored, and converted a two-point try to take a 40-32 win against the East Noble Knights. Both teams will have to make some adjustments, but I think Leo is just physically too tough to stop. You could put 9 in the box, but I'm still not sure you can stop this running attack of the Leo Lions. For that reason, I say Leo takes round 2, but a little different score. Lions 27, Knights 20.
Did you eat a lot of paint chips when you were a kid?
And those are your high school football picks of the week.
Well, Lottie freaking God!
Presented by Midwest Concussion Clinic on Fort Wayne Sports Station. 1380 The Fan at 100.9 FM.
Podcasts by Federated Media.